Jan Vermeulen, he's the editor at large of My Broadband Magazine. Jan, good morning. Goeiemôre. Welcome. It's always lovely to have you on air.
Thank you, Jeremy. And I'd also just like to say thank you very much. I'd like to commend you for talking about the issue. It's such, the land issue, expropriation without compensation, it's such a touchy topic. And for those of us, who grew up ostensibly in a position of privilege and didn't get to experience that pain, getting to hear from your side really, helps me empathize and helps me just get a better sense from your perspective about, what happened and how that makes you feel. So thank you.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And you know what, Jan, we really need to move forward as a collective, as South Africans. And this is what our open line was about this morning. And we still have so much peace to make with so many things that happened in the past. But we shouldn't provoke and be sarcastic and undermine people's feelings because we feel we're a bit more intelligent or privileged than other people based on our prejudice. But that's a conversation.
Discussion is important. Conversation is important. Yeah. But so is listening, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Jan, thank you so much for joining us this morning. So we have a couple of stories that is making headlines on mybroadband.co.za. The one that I am really, really interested in is your top story, Vodacom and MTN possibly facing legal action over the death of the murder of Detective Charles Kenia.
Yeah, this has been a huge story, and what's emerged over the past few weeks following the assassination on Charles Kenia, on the lieutenant colonel, is that Vodacom and MTN's location-based services may have been abused. It looks like they were abused to track the movements of the lieutenant colonel and to plan his assassination through these location-based services. And between Daily Maverick and News 24 and now our reporting, it was basically so Daily Maverick established that these location-based services were not just used in Charles Kenia's case. They've been widely abused by private individuals and private investigators to track people's locations without their consent. And that's not how these systems are intended to be used. And it was just another example of these WASP services. We've discussed them on the show before, these wireless application service providers that are, doing whatever they want. We've been reporting about how they would, like debit order fraud, just go into people's accounts and take their money, take their airtime, with impunity,
right?
Until it gets challenged to a point where it blows up in the press at Vodacom and MTN, and now we've got this. Now, to Vodacom and MTN's credit, they acted speedily to close down the WASPs with access to location based services, which may be implicated in this thing. So that's at least something. But the fact that it took a murder for this to get into the public eye, it makes me sad, to be honest.
Are they legally liable, though, Jan, Vodacom and MTN, within the legal framework here?
This is what's going to be interesting. So legal expert Jos Fleur said that MTN and Vodacom can be held liable for the abuse of their location-based services. We asked him a couple of questions. He's at Fleur Inc. Attorneys, a corporate lawyer focusing on technology and financial services industries. And he gave us some pretty long answers, so I don't want to bore the listeners with them. But we asked him, in the current legal framework, including Poppy, were Vodacom and MTN allowed to provide their subscribers' location information to third parties in good faith? So this is the essence of it. And to give some background to folks who are perhaps unfamiliar with the story, basically, there are some technical controls in place to prevent these WASPs from accessing location information, but it's basically a honor system, right? The thing is, you sign a contract with Vodacom and MTN saying you won't do it, but there's very little to stop you from doing it. technically speaking. So Vodacom says that there are some technical controls in place, but, these WASPs can circumvent them if they want to. Though Vodacom said that it would be irresponsible of them to suggest that there's been widespread abuse of the system. But the bottom line is that the technical controls in place, were hardly, particularly solid, I would say. It was really an honest system. And so anyway, so Fleur says no, it's not sufficient to have a system that's based on good faith. And then, there's a much more nuanced explanation. And I need people to get into that. As I said, I don't want to get too long and boring sure. on this. And then he asks, you wanted to ask a follow-up question.
Yeah, yes, I wanted to ask, especially with Poppy, right, introduced. So apparently there's a new remedy in the law where individuals can claim compensation for damages against a responsible a party if the damages result from a breach of the provisions of POPI. Now, this is a new remedy and in South African law, and apparently the burden of proof is much easier.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Obviously, there's no case law for this yet because it's brand new. I also want to say that what I'm offering here is just my experience in 10 years as a journalist, which includes coverage of a lot of legal matters and speaking to lawyery types, but I am not a lawyer. Now, that said, yes, my understanding is the same as yours. However, firstly, Poppia is, while its commencement day's date for the full Poppy Act was on the 1st of June of this year, if memory serves, but the enforcement of it has basically, all companies have basically been given a year's grace. And so the regulator, the information regulator, who I spoke to this week about this case, they are not able to enforce anything
right
until next year, until the 1st of June next year. And so, but they said that despite that, responsible parties are highly encouraged to comply with the Act in the interim. But yes, there's nothing that the information regulator can necessarily do at this stage. So I'd be very curious to see whether you can launch some kind of civil case
yeah.
against someone like Vodacom and MTN and hold them responsible for damages in the meantime. But yeah, you'd have to be able, you'd have to be willing to front that money, which is, like $500,000 to go to the High Court, and then another $500,000 if it goes to the Supreme Court. And if you lose, you must be willing to lose that money.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the unfortunate reality of the justice system in South Africa. There were some other questions we asked the attorney as well. So we asked, is it the responsibility of Vodacom and MTN to protect the privacy of their users? The simple answer there is yes.
Yes.
MTN has actually gone so far as to say that they are going to hold WASPs, which undermine the privacy of its subscribers, of MTN subscribers, criminally and civilly liable. So MTN warning WASPs that they will take criminal and other legal action against them if they cause a violation of their subscribers' privacy. So hopefully that's not just saber rattling. Mm-hmm. Hopefully MTN actually goes through with that. Then we asked, can Vodacom and MTN be held liable for the abuse of location-based services they provided to third parties which were abused? Simple answer is yes. So this is in answer to your previous question as well. Fleur says, there is, however, one proviso before such claim can be successful. The question, to what extent has Poppy entered into force, which is basically what I was highlighting
right.
here, which is the fact that the grace period doesn't expire at the start of June next year. It expires at the end of June, at 30 June 2021. So from the 1st of July 2021 is when the grace period is over.
Yes.
And so Fleur says, in his view, based on the principles on the interpretation of the statutes, there is a good argument to make that the substantive provisions of POPI have not been suspended, and that there could be a case to be made even though this grace period is in effect. But as I said, you'd have to be willing to put your money on the line
absolutely.
To take quite a common MTN to court over this.
And it's not just 5 cents. It's a lot of money.
No, it's something that I deeply wish that this kind of litigation was more accessible. Mm. I understand why the costs are so high, but it is. But basically what ends up happening is you need someone with deep pockets who has been wronged so much that they go, it is worthwhile for me to risk R1 million on the potential payout of, say, R1 billion. You know, like that risk reward is high enough that I'm willing to put R1 million on the line to take this thing to the Supreme Court of Appeal. But I mean, there could even be constitutional grounds for appeal here, and like that then becomes a whole new kettle of fish. It's a much higher cost. Yeah.
Interesting story to watch going further, though, going forward. Jan, talking about billions, the other story that I find very interesting, and we go back to Vodacom, the employee dropping the "please call me bombshell," according to your headline on the article. Yes. Talk to us about that.
I see a lot of media houses went to that headline. Sometimes I wonder if we all think too much alike. But yes, this was an interesting one. Nkosana Makate, who claims to be the inventor of "Please Call Me," it's much disputed, but Vodacom offered to pay him $40 odd million to go away. Or I say that it's actually a settlement arrangement that was prescribed by the Constitutional Court. And Vodacom said, great, we will pay you R46 million for your idea, which is still huge. But Makate says that he wants at least R20 billion. And now the latest affidavit that's been filed in these court proceedings is from a former Vodacom employee, a Teboho Matuung, who said that he joined Vodacom at the same time as Makate. He was a senior accountant, worked himself up to a senior accountant at Vodacom, and said that that they looked at invoices when money was set aside for the Makate case to the tune of R60 billion. Yeah. Even though that money was set aside, Vodacom ended up only offering R40 million, and so the 40 odd million, I should say. And so, you know, this raises questions about, you know, well, what does that say about the calculations that Vodacom made? And you know, did Vodacom calculate that it actually owes Makate billions of rand and offered such a low amount? You know, what's going on here? And so it raises some interesting questions around that, but also goes to say that, it's actually quite silly for Vodacom to claim that it can't calculate how much money "Please Call Me" made for it. Mortone says that it should be quite a simple exercise for Vodacom to make an informed estimate of the revenue earned by the product and pay out Makate accordingly.
So how simple would that be? How simple would that be?
I don't know. I'm not an accountant. I don't have access to Vodacom's records. But Vodacom is saying it's not a simple exercise at all, and that it doesn't have some of these records dating back 18 years. Whereas Mortome says that it's a pretty simple exercise, and in fact, one that CEO Shamil Joosub asked them to conduct. There was a flurry of activity, apparently, in the accounting division at Vodacom when this case hit the Constitutional Court. And that's, you know, where this money that went to the Leslie Cohen Associates Trust to the tune of R60 billion, over R60 billion, it came from. So you've got to kind of, without being able to see the actual evidence, it's difficult to make a value judgment, to be completely honest, about how easy or hard this is. But Vodacom said that this new affidavit from the Makate camp is actually quite premature because it's still waiting for a what they call a variation order from the North Gauteng High Court regarding the judgment that Vodacom needs to provide all these records, because Vodacom says it's unable to. It was going to appeal the ruling, but there's some legal technicality where it says it's applied for a variation order instead. So Vodacom not answering many questions in this regard, saying that it's waiting for this ruling from the North Gauteng High Court, and after that, you know, it'll take on the rest of the claims here.
Jan, we're going to have to leave it there. We're looking forward to having you back again on the show. Jan Vermeulen is the editor-at-large at My Broadband Magazine. They're very interesting stories. Go and check them out on mybroadband.co.za.